As Ambassador Jeffrey suggests there, perhaps the biggest regional loser in the crisis in Iraq today is Turkey. And that may be an opportunity for a bit of fence mending with a quiet Islamic leader who represents a huge political constituency in Turkey, who directs his movement from a quiet compound in, as I mentioned in passing with the ambassador, of all places, rural Pennsylvania. Fethullah Gulen is his name, and he has built a global network of schools and Muslim political institutions that are a direct challenge to Turkish Prime Minister Recep Erdogan. Who is Fethullah Gulen? Well, he is a champion of Islamist-style governance in the world using a moderate model, very different from the style of the madrasas in Pakistan or the powerfully ideologically driven government of Iran. Gulen has the potential of being a kingmaker in Turkey, and no one knows that better than Turkish leader Erdogan, who has jailed Gulen's supporters and banned some of his books. Berna Turam is a professor of sociology and international affairs at Northeastern University in Massachusetts. Fethullah Gulen, a man in self-exile here in the United States, has launched a movement, she says, that is unprecedented in scale and influence.
It's very hard to compare the Gulen movement with another social movement across the world because they have formed these very strong global networks all around the world based on their schools and education system. And to our knowledge, there is no such thing yet in the world. And when it comes to the exile situation, well, it's more like a self-exile because when he left Turkey in 1999 and came here, there were several lawsuits against him by the Secular Republic questioning his loyalties to secularism and the secular state. But he's been acquitted since then. So he's entirely free to go back and he chooses to stay here for different reasons and for obvious reasons. So this has something to do with the geopolitics of Turkey, where United States puts Turkey in the wider world politics. That's why United States is actually hosting this leader of a very moderate Islamist movement.
And when you say a moderate Islamist movement, how would I be able to identify the schools in the Gulen movement, the educational institutions? What distinguishes them?
Well, you won't be able to identify them because there are, to my knowledge, and I haven't counted them, but there are hundreds of them, or at least 100 in the United States. It's not easy to identify them. In most parts of the world, they're known as the Turkish schools. Like I was in Kazakhstan, and the Kazakh people, the locals, knew them as Turkish schools, not Gulen schools. They provide secular education, so you're not going to find Islamists teaching anything. They're very hard to distinguish. One thing is that they all are very competitive science schools. They're very good schools all around the world, and parents like those schools. Here, most of them are charter schools, so they're entirely legit.
And it sounds like they're the opposite of the madrasa movement in places like Pakistan.
Entirely, yes, that's correct. So their main goal has been to raise and educate this new generation of highly competitive, scientifically competitive people.
And Muslims in large part.
In general, no. Americans also go to those schools here.
Well, it does seem, though, that Fethullah Gulen has a vision of bringing whatever he considers to be his people or his followers out of a sort of backward political and economic state. And just like Ataturk's answer to that in Turkey was to create a secular Turkey, and the Shah's answer to that was to create a hyper-modern state in Iran, Gulen has his own particular vision of bringing people out from under a sort of intellectual second-class citizenship. Would you say that's reasonably correct?
Yes, we can say that, but because the movement is so global now and they have schools and missions all around the world, their mission is actually different in different parts of the world. So what they do in Kazakhstan is not going to make any sense in the United States, or what their schools do in Turkey is not going to work in Germany. So one important thing about the Gulen movement is that wherever they go, they engage the states. They follow the states' agendas instead of challenging or confronting them. So here in the United States, I would identify them mostly as interfaith. So they really aim at bringing people from different religions together, and they want to get along with these different religious communities, like the Jewish and the Christians. And this became their agenda in the United States after 9/11, and their visibility here became much more important after 9/11.
What is Fethullah Gulen like? Is he a charismatic man, an intelligent man, a gentle man? What's your impression?
He was a very kind and modest person, and he still is, I'm sure. I met him only once. Everybody assumes that he's leading this huge movement. He's the top of a hierarchical movement. It is a hierarchical movement, but really, I mean, most of the day he's sitting in his room in Pennsylvania and contemplating. He's more like a Sufi. The movement is very dispersed, and it cannot be controlled from one center anymore. So I would say it's conspiracy theory when people say Gulen is watching the entire business and conduct of the movement. It's by now it's completely impossible because it's all around the world.
Then let's focus on Turkey before we go, Bernat Aram. Would you say that there is a dispute between, or traditionally has been a dispute between, Prime Minister Erdogan and Fethullah Gulen?
There is definitely a dispute. There are misleading interpretations of the tension and the dispute between them. It's important to remember that historically, the Gulen movement and where Erdogan comes from have never been eternal friends. So they come from different historical points. They come from different understandings of Islam. Prime Minister Erdogan was always closer to another Islamic leader, Erbakan, who was known as a much more radical Islamist. And Gulen comes from a different perspective, which has always been anti-communist, much more conservative, and definitely less radical. Actually, not radical, anti-radical. He always defended status quo. So they come from different points. But at some point in Turkish history, they actually agreed, they were on the same page, and now they can't get along.
Not only can I not get along, Erdogan has put members of the Gulen movement in prison, people are under house arrest. There seems to be a very tight rein and a suspicion on the part of Erdogan of Gulen's intentions.
That's correct, but Erdogan has been doing that to everybody. I mean, most of the critical voices.
Bernat Aram, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Bernat Aram is a professor at Northeastern University, professor of sociology and international affairs.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.